Good evening, Abba Isai. Good evening, good evening. Hope you're all well. I want to learn tonight. We're going to be learning Siman Shinun Ches, and we shall be learning Be'ezer Hashem, Sif Yud Aleph. Prior to doing so, we're also going to be discussing a little bit more detail. I brought this along today, the Kuntas Ha'erev Amahuda in London, the Erev Amahuda in Northwest London, which is written by the, it is the London Besdin. I'm not sure it's officially them or unofficially them. It's certainly authorized by them. And there's a few, and it's interesting to note that a very large part of this, it's the map in the middle over here. You can see, have you seen this? It came out when it came out, so good to, like, even maybe 10 years ago. When did it come out? Northwest, yeah. So we've got over here a map as well. It's a little bit torn because I used it once or twice. So there's a map of the Northwest London Erev. I think it's really, really helpful. And within that, it's really interesting. A large section within that book is about the Kafifo. It's exactly what we're discussing, what we're learning at the moment. 1 second. Yeah, that's how's it go? 1 minute. Yeah, is what we're discussing tonight, Kafifos. And it's interesting, actually. It's a very nice picture as well, how they built the Eruv, some of the questions of the Eruv with various Dayonim and Rabbonim. Yeah, so we'll get to that in Mitzvah soon. I want to just start maybe with a question which he discusses as well, because it's relevant. I do not know if it's relevant to an Edra Eruv, I don't know. And that's a Beis Olim, a cemetery. I don't think it's not included. And the question is, with regards to Kafifo, is very much our discussion. So again, a Kaf of Shaluk of Ladira, we said, is a problem. So what is a Kaf of Shaluk of Ladira? It's a large open area, and it's not meant for living. And if it's bigger than Sosaim, Halacha is, he can't carry, although it's enclosed. So it's like a kamenis. Now, normally, a kaf shaluk ladira, a good example for that would be, if it's lezoim, that was the example we discussed yesterday, in greater detail, if there's planting there, if there's planting going on, then it's not meant for, it's not trespass, it's not meant to walk there. So the question is, what about a base olam? And it could be a Yiddish base olam, or probably more common in our areas. It's a non-Jewish cemetery. And the question is that considered? Very often it is quite a large space, a large area. Is that a problem or not? It's not habitable. And therefore, you're right. So therefore it should be a kafa shaluk of ladira. That's a problem. So now what happens if it's not fully enclosed? Perhaps, if it's not fully enclosed, but it's not, yeah, you're right. So if it's not fully enclosed, what happens is that it's not only allowed to carry there, but it's going to break the entire Eruv. So on both sides, Northwest London Eruv has Goyshe cemeteries. Imagine it's not fully enclosed. The halacha would be that it breaks the entire Eruv. It's like Zoim. No, nobody's meant to live there. Is that, are we accepting that? So part of the Northwest London Eruv Committee will have to go around, check the cemeteries and check that it's fully enclosed because it's like Zoim. The Gemara says that the Beis HaKvoros is not Ledira, it's not meant for dwelling. Although people do tend to stay there quite a long time, but it's still not considered, dwelling, I suppose. Gemara says, and the Gemara says somebody who spends a lot of time in the Beis Olam, It's very dodgy. It's somebody who spends time in a Beis Olam. You're not meant to spend a long time there. But I saw Chuvan Machne Chaim quoted. Machne Chaim says, hold on, it's not always the case. Because at times, it is considered a dira. And because it was very much the case in previous generations, in London not so much the case, but it's certainly in Eastern Europe it's still very common that there is a shoima, that every base olim has got a shoima. So the way it works, I remember when I was in Hungary, there is every base olim because there's no Yidden living there anymore, and they want to protect and look after the Yiddish base olim. I'm talking Yiddish base olim. So there's a goy. It's actually a very it's the goy, and he lives in the base olim, no less. And his responsibility is, firstly, to allow people in and out, and it, you know, and secondly, also to maintenance, to look up, because otherwise, you know, not just foxes, could be also, you know, there's thieves and robbers, and it could be all kinds of people who want to penetrate the base olim. So they make sure that it's evident. I think it's normally a Gentile, and when I went, as we see, they're living, they're all more than happy, they love it, to live in a base olim. There's no more, it's very sociable kind of, the atmosphere, it's amazing, nobody bothers them. And when I asked him, are you okay with your, do you need some company? Are you okay with living there? He said, he's got plenty of company, yeah. That's what he said. He's got plenty of company. He's more than happy. He says, he's got a dog, and he's got his loves. He knows exactly where everybody's cave is, on the spot. You asked him, where is this? And he said, oh, yeah, it's just over there. I'll take you there. He knows it's like his home. It's quite comfortable there. And he knows all the minhagim and halachas with regards to going to Beis Olam. As you go out, he offers you, water to, you know, he knows it all. And so therefore, the Machne Chaim says, that no, actually, it's Ledira. Beis Olam could be Ledira if there's a Shoima there, if there's a guard there watching over. So it's Ledira. And that's referring, so he said that if there is a person there who is fairly based there, so you'll be able to call a base olam a muk of ledira, not non muk of ledira. Is there nowadays in any such thing? There is. Living on site. Watch out! Wow. And they are living there, amongst the. So that, you see that? So fine. So if that's the case, then there you go. Yeah, is that also for the same reason? What is it for?
Look after cemetery, security.
Security, yeah. Looking after. Very good. So there you go. So that would be considered the hook of Ladira.
But only if it was
first built. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So all the base olim which are within the...
I think Bushy does.
Enfield has... There's also, okay, right? Okay, and they actually live there. They sleep there, they live there. Wow. Okay.
In other words, this tzaddik, what is the name? Yeah, they wake him up, the guy came out and died.
Okay, well, I suppose nobody else can wake him up. Yeah, okay. So, basically, what I'm going to say is... is considered, so that's the Machne Chaim, is Mechadish, that if there's a person living there, it's considered Hukav Ledira, otherwise not, and this is really something that any Eruv has to be fully aware of and conscious of the cemeteries in the Tchum of the Eruv. Sif Yud Aleph, Rabbi Yisai, bottom line, in page Resh Yud Gimel, Kafef Yoisim Abeis Sosayim, if you've got a Kafef which is greater than Sosayim. Again, a Kafef is a big open area, which therefore is a Kamelis, if it's more than Sosayim. Now we're talking about Hook of Ledira. This is about Hook of Ledira. So this is an area that there is people living there, and there is a Hook of Ledira, and which is fine because it's for residential use, and therefore it's permitted to carry within that. V'nichnusu b'mayim. What happened here is there's water which came in. Now the water over here is not talking through water that is going through the area like a river or a stream. Going in and going out, because that would certainly be considered kveirushus le'atzmoi, would be considered kamelis. Here we're talking about something else. We're talking about water that was a lot of rain and water came in, and the water is just sitting there. The water is just sitting there. So that's the halacha. Now, the fact that there's water there, does that matter or not? So there was a bit of a mabul, and you've got this residential, you've got this large farmhouse. You know, farmhouse, good example. It's bigger than Sosayim. You're out in Scotland, out in Wales, out in the, you know, and you've got this large farmhouse, this cottage, and it's bigger than society, but it's for residential purpose because the house was built, and then after some machitzas around it was built. And now what happened was, so normally you should be able to carry that. But what happened was a tremendous amount of rain. Now there's a whole pool there of water. Does that matter or not? Now let me just explain the question a little bit. Why should it matter? Why should it matter? It's not a dira. So that the point is that we're really looking at things which is mevatel the shem dira of the mechitzas. How this is could be breaking the mechitzas. This is now not considered a dira anymore. You can't live within the pool area and you can't carry, and that might break the mechitza, make it into an area which is not residential anymore. Such just like if there is seeds and there is therefore. If there's seeds and therefore you can't step there, you can't walk there, that will make the whole area into non-residential. Similarly also, if there's water there, perhaps it's now non-residential. Habayse, we'll see soon, it's where Aloch Lamaise. So now the Aloch is as follows. If the water is drinkable, now I don't know if that's possible. How could the water be still pure enough to drink? I'm not sure. How could the water still be clean enough to drink? Don't know exactly. But if it is clean enough to drink, then it's not a problem at all. You can drink it. There's nothing more residential than drinking water. That's fine. That's totally fine. You can use the water, you can drink the water. Even if the area that it's spread is larger than society, and if the water is very deep, at the end of the day, you can drink this water, so it's residential. But if the water is not, you can't use the water, not for drinking, it's just too dirty, it's too muddy. Dinam kezoim, the aloch is, it's like seeds, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to, it's going to break the whole area into, it's going to make the whole area into kaf of shaloyuk of ledira. Vehu she beomkem asorot fochim, that's as long as the water is at least 10 fochim down. Seif Kodem Pedalet in the Mishnevura tells us, that it's v'nichnus ubamayim umayir shemayim kavu v'kayim besuicha kafev. Mishle Bura tells us the water is sitting in the area. Seif Kodem Pevov explains to us why water which you can drink is fine. Hein mevatel madira. Mishle Bura says de'ein lechadira mu'ul mezu. There's nothing more residential than drinking water. Now the reason why this is something which we need to discuss is that whilst it's true it's not so common nowadays to have suddenly a whole marble in an area, a burst pipe. But I want to say, let's talk about burst pipe for a minute. Imagine there's a word. So where are you in a cottage or in Edgware? Okay, in a cottage in Edgware, I suppose. Yeah. And you've got a burst pipe which is spreading on the whole street, and it's a large area. Now you want to say that if it's more than 10 tefachim, which is probably quite rare, but if it's like going quite, it's quite a marble burst pipe. So what would be the halacha then? Will that break the eruv? It's drinking water. Yeah, so it will make a difference. If it's drinking water, it's not going to break the. It's not going to break the mechitzas. If it's not drinkable, then the halacha is it will take and break the mechitzas. It will. It potentially could, yeah. Yeah. So if it's the shear is bad enough, then yes. Swimming pool, Rabbi Isai, a swimming pool. Outdoor swimming pool. Which probably most of us have in the back garden. Chaim? No? Swimming pools. Now, is that a problem? Because it's a collection of water, definitely more than 10 tefachim, otherwise you can't swim. And it's water, and you can't drink it. Don't drink it. And it's in an eruv area. So the Shulchan Aruch says that if it is it's like zoim. If it's like zoim, yeah. So that if it's yosim zasaim, then it's also. If it is, you're right. But if it is, if the eruv itself, if it takes 51% of the eruv, then it's even if it's less than Sosayim will invalidate it. It's not. Yeah, but yes, Sosayim, okay, you could probably have a, you're right, probably, I'm just thinking perhaps if there's outdoor, you know, in Kenwood, isn't there a, I don't think I've ever seen it, but I think there is like a Hampstead Heath, yeah? Okay, so I don't know how big it is, but let's just assume for a minute it would be bigger than Sosayim. It's quite big? Okay, so imagine that. Imagine, I don't know if Hampstead Heath is within the Eruv, we can check over here, but what will you say? So you've got an outdoor swimming area, can't drink that water, yeah? So the Halacha Rabbi say is that this is a problem. Yes, it is a problem. This is a very much, a very typical application of this Halacha over here. You've got to watch it because it's going to be a problem. The only way out is if it's really, as we do the Eitzaz earlier, if it's mamash surrounded, if it's surrounded, with solid mechitzas around it, then you can exclude it from the Eruv, as we've discussed earlier. You can exclude it from the Eruv by surrounding it physically by mechitzas, and then it's going to be considered an excluded Eruv from, and you still can't carry there, but at least it doesn't affect the Eruv around it. And so does that make sense? So you've got to watch it. So this is one of the things that need to be looked after in Eruv. Now, this really is, I want to point out, because it is so important and so relevant, that in this publication over here, to make an absolute point over here, in one of the there's a whole chapter over here in World Expert Answers Questions, and over here one of the questions over there addressed to Agon Reb David Eisenstein, who is mamash probably the world's greatest expert in Eruvin worldwide, internationally. So he's got a few. He looked at the Eruv over here, and then he's asked the question over here. And I'm reading the words: are there kafifas in the north west London Eruv? That's the question was asked. Are there kafifas? Because that's such a concern. So he replies: there are no kafifas in the Eruv. We took special care. I'm quoting what he says over here. We took special care to make sure that all the allotments are surrounded by solid mechitzas. Here. Solid mechitzas in the most modern way. And in this matter, we follow exactly the same principles as in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. So that's precisely what they're doing. They care so much. They ensure that all the kafifas are surrounded by mechitzas and there's no kafifas within the Eruv of Northwest London. It's interesting also that there's a special page over here, which I believe I saw earlier, in which they point out, I want to just read this out to you because that's mamash what we're learning. Because there will be a lot of kafifas. One minute, where is this page? We'll have to ask Rabbi Liebman when we go around. We'll have to ask him exactly if he's got how he deals with all the kafifas. Sorry, I just know that it was somewhere around here, excuse me. There's all the letters written by all the whole discussion about Spaniards in. Beautiful pictures over here. Okay, I'm sorry, I just literally can't find it. Yeah. No. Yeah. He speaks over here, Wildwood Road. The park next to Wildwood Road. Where is that? Okay, is there a park next to it? Okay, so he's concerned as to whether that's considered Mokum Zoim. Is it somewhere that people are not meant to step and not walk there? What is it, a normal park? People walk there, I see. Okay, so he said that's not considered, that's not considered Mokum Zoim. He's very concerned. The Brent Cross, parking slot Brent Cross. He's discussed all the potential kafifas. What about the parking area next to, car park next to Brent Cross? Is that considered a kafaf or not?
It's not hukuf at all, is it?
It's not hukuf, that's right. So, if it's considered a mokum zoim, it would be a problem. It's bigger than Susayim, and then it's a kafaf, shaloi hukuf ledira, and that would break the entire eruv. He says that it's not considered, that they discuss this with various dayonim, and they say that's not considered, it's not considered a kafaf because on a car park, what do you think about it? Is it meant for residential use or not? Car park. No, it's not for living. So now comes the chiddush over here. So that's what they paskened, that the Brent Cross, next to Brent Cross car, because there's many people who go there, to the people will walk around there at times, and at times people will go there to for relaxation and just to relax a little bit. So therefore it's considered hukuf ledira. That's what he says. Holiday Inn. There's an area outside Holiday Inn. He says areas, not a car park. Holiday Inn Express. So he's very concerned about that. And that they went to all the G'doylei Yisrael, including Rabbi Yaakov Bloy, the Eid HaRedes, Rabbi Moshe Sternbuch, and they asked us whether that's considered a Mokum Zoyim. And they were quite concerned about this, because it's not an area that is for their residential use. I believe that they secluded it separately. So that's the relevance of this Kafifus. The question is, what happens if the water is not that deep? If it's not, let's say, like in your burst pipe, it doesn't go 10 tefachim deep, but it's just less than that. What would be the halacha then? You've got water, and you can't walk there, but it's not 10 tefachim deep, it's less. What would be the halacha? The halacha is that it's fine, there's one effect. And the reason Mishnah Berurah says, in Sefkot and Tzadik, bottom line of page 426, Tepochis Masor Tfachim, if it's less than 10 Tfachim, Havale Ketit V'Refesh Be'alma, it's just considered mud, Shen Cholken Rishus La'atzmo, which will not be a Rishus in its own, won't be a domain in its own right. And therefore, it's considered not affecting the rest of the Eruv, and therefore it's going to be Mutter. Okay, I wish you a very good Shabbos, gentlemen. Very good Shabbos.